Hold it, fellas. That don't move me. Let's get real, real gone for a change.
It's time to get real gone on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Here's your host, James Riley.
This is Jammin' James Riley on your favorite hour for great music and interviews, the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Now, on this episode, we have part two with our guest, Levi Dexter.
He arranged for us to be on the Louisiana Hayride, which they haven't had Rockabilly on the Hayride since Elvis did his last thing in, like, 57.
Much more from Levi Dexter coming up in just a little bit, plus great tunes from J.D. McPherson, Chan Romero, The Catmen, Buzz and the Flyers, and so much more. Now let's kick it off with the toughest sibling combo in all of Rockabilly. Now, besides their high-energy rock and roll, they were also both amateur boxers, so nobody messed with the Burnett brothers. Here's Johnny Burnett, Dorsey Burnett, and Paul Burleson, the rock and roll trio from 1956 with Rockabilly Boogie.
Well, it's a rock, Billy Boogie. A rock, rock, 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 a rock, Billy Boogie tonight. Well, I know a little spot on the edge of town where you can really pick 'em up and set 'em down. It's a little place called a Hideaway. You do the rockabilly to the break of day. Well, it's a rock, a rock, a rock, Billy Boogie. A rock, a rock, a rock, Billy Boogie. A rock, a rock, a rock, Billy Boogie tonight. Kick off the shoes, getting ready to pop. They're gonna rock a billy, I'm wearing their socks. You really ain't, you feel the thrill. So come on, little baby, do the rock a billy, Bill. Rock, a rock, a rock a billy boogie. A rock, a rock, a rock a billy boogie. A rock, a rock, a rock a billy boogie tonight. Everybody knows her as a rockabilly queen. And there's old Slim, as quiet as a mouse. We tell his old Susie he'll tear up the house. But it's a rock, a rock, a rockabilly boogie. A rock, a rock, a rockabilly boogie. A rock, a rock, a rockabilly boogie tonight.
Move over, honey, let your daddy drive. I said, move over, honey, let your daddy drive. You're driving so fast, I know I never will survive. You know I drive slow and I got a long road to ride. You know I drive real slow and I got a long road to ride. But I pick up speed when I kick her into overdrive. You're driving me crazy when you drive too fast. You know your daddy likes to make it last. Move over, honey, let your daddy drive. Drive so fast, I know I never will survive. Drive! Where we're going, I just don't need no map. Where we're going, I just don't need no map. Just need my
navigator sitting right here on my lap. Well, you can't keep riding when your tank is running dry. Well, you can't keep riding when your tank is running dry. I gotta fill her up with a high-test petroglide. I taught you to drive and you learned real quick. You can drive an automatic, but you sure drive stick. Move over, honey, let your daddy drive. You're driving so fast, I know I never will survive.
From the New York City area, that's Rhythm Bound with Let Your Daddy Drive. Hey, the Ink and Iron Festival is coming to Nashville, Tennessee, August the 6th through the 9th. Artists performing there include Wanda Jackson, Reverend Horton Heat, Merle Haggard, Shooter Jennings, Carl Mann, Sonny Burgess, Linda Gale Lewis, and so many others. Ink-N-Iron.com. That's Ink-N-Iron.com is the place to go for all of the info and the entire lineup. Now let's get back to the music. J.D. McPherson is coming up in just a bit. But first, let's go back to 1959 with a tune written and recorded by Chan Romero. I Want Some More on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour.
Have you ever been in love before? Your baby kiss you and you want some more. You giggle pimples when she squeezes you tight. Baby, that's what I like. Yeah, I like it. Oh, yeah, I want some more. Well, I take my baby out on a date. I like to have and hold her hand and stay out late. Well, I like her to tell me how much she cares. And no one damn fingers through my head. I like it. Oh, yeah, I want some more. Give me some more, baby.
Hi, this is J.D. McPherson, and you're listening to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour with Jammin' James Riley.
Everybody talking about the All-American. Knocking down walls like a bomb here again. Hair falling down like a razor blade. Breaking every heart by the way she played. Everybody talking about the All-American. Everybody talking about the All-American. Talking about the All-American.
down in the bayou, where all the folks say hi you. The people like to see that sun go down, so they can kick off the shoe and get the guitar down. Bayou, rock out, bayou, rock out, do ya, bayou, rock out, do ya, bayou, rock out, do ya, bayou, rock, how to do ya, bayou, rock, bayou, rock, bayou, rock. Patch out with a learned a new lick, grandpa dancing with a broomstick. People all coming from miles around so they can hear Uncle John play a hold down. Bayou, rock out, do ya, 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 bayou, rock, how to do ya, bayou, rock, bayou. Coming up from over the hill, not a soul in the house is a sitting still. Pa says now we gotta slow it down, but we'll do it again when the sun goes down. Bayou, rock out of you, 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 bayou, rock, how to do you, bayou, rock, bayou, rock, bayou, rock.
The legendary Ink and Iron Festival comes to Nashville, Tennessee for the first time at the Bicentennial Mall Park at Municipal Auditorium August 6th to the 9th, featuring artists such as Merle Haggard, Wanda Jackson, Reverend Horton Heat, Shooter Jennings, Sharon Jones, and the Dap Kings. Also, the legends of Sun Records and the air-conditioned Big Top Tent, including Linda Gale Lewis, Carl Mann, W.S. Flew Collin, Danny B. Harvey, and Annie Marie Lewis, J.M. Van Eaton, Sleepy LaBeef, Stan Perkins, Rayburn Anthony, and so many more artists, but that's not all. See Vaudeville and cabaret performers, along with the nation's top aerial performers, custom motorcycles, hot rods, and custom cars.
And don't forget the ink.
280 of the world's top tattoo artists will be on hand for your tattoo desires. That's the Ink and Iron Festival, August 6th to the 9th at the Bicentennial Mall Park in Nashville, Tennessee. Find us online at ink-n-iron.com. And How Imaging is a locally owned and operated company specializing in creating photos of an era gone by. If you're looking for laid-back, low-key people who love to have fun with their work, look no further than And How Imaging. Engagements, weddings, special events, pin-up sessions, individual and family portraits. Whatever you need, we'll handle it. And How Imaging. Find us online at andhowimaging.com because you're unique and your photo should be too. We're back on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour, and we just heard Joe Bennett and the Sparkle Tones with Bayou Rock, way down in the bayou where the folks say hi-you. It's from 1959. We also heard Everybody's Talking About the All-American by J.D. McPherson from Let the Good Times Roll. Okay, it's time to get back into our interview with neo-rockabilly legend Levi Dexter. Now, Levi had been talking about Levi and the Rock Cats coming to America, and the buzz was really starting to spread. Next stop, appearances on American television. Here's Levi.
And before we knew it, things were starting to get a lot bigger than we expected. Merv Griffin scouted us out at a show, and so we were asked to be on there, which was interesting because they said, well, where's your tape? And we said, we don't have the tape. And they said, well, where's your record? And then we said, we don't have a record. And they said, well, what are you doing here? And we said, well, you know, we're Levi and the Rock Cats. We had to set some microphones up. They were like, microphones? Nobody plays live anymore, you know? And we said, well, that's what we do. So it's pretty, Merv was a really nice guy. And between songs, we had a break, and he was talking to me and saying, he said, people think Ed Sullivan is the king because he brought Elvis first and all that. But he goes, you know, he started going to all the bands from England that he had brought over first. Mainly 60s bands, Dave Clark 5 and things like that. And then he said, is there anything you want? Do you like your set? Do you like the stage? And I said, yeah, it looks kind of atomic. It's got a lot of flashing lights. It's a bit disco for me. And well, we didn't like disco. And he said, well, is there anything you want? And he said, well, can we hang our flag at the back of the stage? And I think he expected a British flag, you know?
Yeah.
Because the three of us were from England. And, of course, we gave him our Confederate flag. I mean, to us, being English, we're naively, and still is like that. the rebel flag represents rockabilly rebel, mm-hmm. rebel music in the South, you know, like Ray Campy. When I came over, there really wasn't a lot of rockabilly in America. I mean, you had Robert Gordon on the East Coast.
Yeah.
You had Ray Campy and the Rolling Rock lineup of bands from that label, particularly Ray Campy and the Rockabilly Rebels. And, you know, they had the flag, and a lot of English bands used it, but it stood for acknowledging we're not playing rock and roll from the North, like Little Richard, Chuck Berry, Elvis, although Elvis is Southern, but, you know, the hits, the big top 10, 50s things, all pretty much came from the North, like New York, Chicago, L.A., and we said, what we're doing is from Tennessee, Louisiana, Mississippi. So that flag is rebel. We're rebelling against the cliche rock and roll, and we're playing what was big in the South. So anyway, he hung the flag up, and he got a lot of flack for it, actually, on it, because it was the Easter weekend that aired. He, you know, but he let us do it. He was, yeah, go ahead, you know. And then right after that, Wolfman Jack had a TV show as well called Midnight Special. And Lee was friends with Wolfman Jack, and so we got to be on that. We played live on that as well.
Well, I took my baby for a little walk. Just was gonna have a little talk. Just when I got out behind the barn, I heard no one from the South. Well, I looked in her eyes of a big air blue. She said, come on, baby, what's wrong with you? Just when I started to feel alright, I heard no one from the South. Now, when I hear the note going through the trees, stars are trembling in my knees. It blew in on a real good breeze. I know from the South.
From the South, it's Levi and the Rockettes. Now, Levi talks about an exciting time to play on the same stage where artists like Elvis Presley, Johnny Horton, and so many others stood before them.
Then immediately after that, Tom Ayers, a lovely guy who used to manage and work with Gene Vincent towards the end of his career, he's from Louisiana, and he arranged for us to be on the Louisiana Hayride, which they haven't had rockabilly on the Hayride since Elvis did his last thing in like 57.
Wow.
So it had gone dead. So it was a big deal. And Frank Page, who introduced Elvis in 54, retired that night. So we were the last thing of his career that he introduced on the Hayride, which later came out on an rather poor quality album. But, you know, for us, for English boys, you know, three of us were from England and two from America, and we were really thrilled to even walk on the stage that, you know, Elvis and Johnny Horton and Hank Williams and all that had played on many, many, many times. Again, we expected them to really have their own appreciation for rockabilly, but beyond Hank Williams and Elvis and George Jones, maybe, that was it. When I started asking them about, I said, you know, what about Willie Fairburn? He played every hayride for like 4 years solid, and they've never heard of him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there were some of the old guys there that would remember, but pretty much it was country western and gospel, and people sang about two songs at a time, and then they had a break, and then they let us do our whole show, our whole set that we would normally do in a club, which later became the album.
Okay, we're doing a song called Don't Treat Me Like a Dog. Love this cat. Well, everybody's heard about your pedigree. They run when you wouldn't so baby, but not me. No, I will be a little dog. I can't go for that. Don't treat me like a dog, baby. Love this cat. You got an itchy baby, scratching like a hound. You're wagging your tail, baby, all over town. So come on, be my baby, curl up on my lap. But don't treat me like a dog, baby. Love this cat. Don't treat me like a dog. We're waiting for the ball. Don't you put me on a leash, lead me on. Well, it's a pretty kitten, I can't get enough. I'm a cool tom cat, you say no. Show you some fun, so come on, baby. I won't run with that pack. Don't treat me like a dog, baby. Love this cat, yeah. Rock it out, boy, let's go. But not me. I won't be a little dog. I will run with that pack. Don't treat me like a dog, baby. Love this cat. Don't treat me like a dog, baby. Love this cat. Okay, thanks a lot.
By then, things had really changed. The only thing that was really upsetting about it was we were not signed to a record company. And I now, as I'm older, I understand the logistics of why. And I used to think, oh, well, because we're playing blues-based stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's still some kind of, like, we don't want to touch it because it's that. It was more, you know, England's like 1,000 years old. When we want to do something, we tend to look back and pick the best of things. America's 200 years old and doesn't want to look back even a decade or two. They want, as far as music business, they want the new thing, the new thing, the new thing.
Yeah.
And we were playing the old thing from 20 years ago that is now gone and been replaced with the Beatles and then replaced with this and replaced with that. And now it's the 70s. Now it's replaced with new wave and disco and all that kind of stuff. So when we made recordings, they would say, like, where do I play this? What do I play this between? It doesn't fit.
Yeah.
You know, and as a form of music, rockabilly has always been underground, always kind of excluded from being in the mix, as it were, since the 50s, mainly because it was blues-based in the 50s. But after that, there was nowhere really for it to fit in. You know, it was very frustrating for us that, you know, we're playing a form of a pure American form of music, you know, that is purely American. It's, apart from blues and jazz, rock and roll and rockabilly, particularly, is the longest enduring form of music that you don't hear on the radio.
Yeah, that's, you know, a good point.
And it's like, you know, the Mersey Beat sound, it's come and gone. You know, the mod sound came and went. You know, things come and disco's gone. You know,
yeah.
New wave came and went. Punk, it's still there, but as far as the heyday of it, it's come and gone. But the rockabilly thing has been solid since the 50s. It's always been, there's more rockabilly than there is rock and roll. When you start to dig and say, what is there? I want to hear as much as I can. You realize that rock and roll, as most people know it, is the tip of the iceberg. And there's this mass of rockabilly stuff. It's not all good. There's a lot of mediocre stuff. but everybody had a go at it in the 50s, and it kept going. It never went away. It was always underlying, underground. It was frustrating to not get signed, and, you know, we just pushed. And admittedly, Live on the Rockettes were raw. We were not fancy pickers at the time. We just, it was more the spirit of it and the action on stage and just knocking out the songs that we did. But we could not get signed. And we made two singles independently. We made the Louis and a Hayride record that came out on a punk label. But apart from, as far as the mainstream music business, they didn't want to touch it with a stick.
Yeah. You know?
And I realize now that another thing was that because it is blues-based, it's a lot harder for the publishing people because there's that fear, that blues fear. And it's not because it's black music. It's because it's 145 blues-based, my song sounds like somebody else's song, sounds like his song. And, you know, if you get that thing where but somebody's already done that 145 thing, so they're published. If I publish it, I'm going to get in trouble because there's all these other songs that have that progression.
Okay, yeah.
So kind of like the blues, where it's hard, you can't copyright the blues. It's been around so long.
Sure.
It's past 100 years. So, you know, W.C. Handy and all that said, I created the blues or whatever. But everybody can do it. Everybody can do the same blues progression. And it's just accepted as an American form of traditional music. And it's the blues. Everybody can have a go at that progression. But rockabilly was, they kind of didn't want to go there again. You know, by the time we got to the end of 79, we had pretty much gone as far as we could without being signed. And so we broke up. And that was the end of Levi and the Rockettes.
Yeah.
Christmas 79 release. Hey, this is Levi Dexter, and you're listening to the Rockabilly and Blues Hour with Jammin' James Riley. Tune in and rock out.
Well, I'm getting tired of working day to day, getting up at 6, doing what other people say. Sometimes I get depressed and I have to move away. That's the only time I'm happy is when I'm rocking on the stage, yeah. Get so excited. So excited when I rock and roll. So excited when I rock and roll, yeah. So excited when I rock and roll, yeah. Get so excited when I rock, rock, yeah. Get so excited when I rock, rock, you know I get so excited when I rock and roll, rock and roll, rock and roll. Well, I get so excited when I rock, yeah. Get so excited when I rock, you know I get so excited when I rock.
Tom Ingram presents the second annual Rockabilly Rockout, October 1st through the 4th at the Gold Coast Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. DJs, vendors, all-night bars, and artist performances from Jittery Jack, Furious, Hayden Thompson, Bloodshot Bill, The Sabres, Jack Baymore, Ruby Ann, Mark and the Wild Ones, Rumble King, Cash O'Reilly, and lots more. Tickets on sale now at rockabillyrockout.com. The Lewis family doesn't have to perfect the rock and roll attitude because they invented it. The queen of the pumped piano is back and she's just getting started.
He's a real bad boy and he's sweet on me. He's my good rocking man. He's my hard rocking man.
Linda Gail Lewis makes her Landmark Records debut with Hard Rockin' Woman.
Now pretty soon you're gonna see. She never heard of me. Cause I battle with the bottles of the problems with my gun.
Featuring a stellar band, including guitars by Danny B. Harvey and Quentin Jones, as well as backing vocals by her daughter, Annie Marie Lewis.
Heartbreak happens, and I might lose control.
Linda Gail Lewis, Hard Rockin' Woman, produced by Quentin Jones on Landmark Records. Hey, it's Jammin' James Riley, and just a moment ago we heard I Get So Excited by Levi and the Ripcords, a new group Levi had started after the split with the Rockettes. And he explains who he had in mind initially for this band. Here's Levi.
I said, okay, I'm going to, I'd already seen these guys in New York called Brian Setzer, and I said, I've seen the Tomcats. And basically, Brian and his brother Gary Setzer would come to Levi and the Rockettes shows in the 70s. 8 and 9 and go come backstage and say, we really want to have a band like Levi and the Rockettes. So when they broke up, I had jammed with them. I'd gone to, they picked me up and took me out to Long Island, and I jammed. They were playing like 5 sets a night in this little divey place, and I, as soon as I heard Brian play guitar, I was like, oh my god, it's like Cliff Gallant come alive.
Yeah.
Scotty Moore, he played everything perfect, and I did a set of Elvis, a set of Gene Dunson and a set of Johnny Burnett with him. I just said, he's the best thing I ever heard. So when Levi and the Rockettes broke up, we instantly called Brian and Gary and said, yeah, we're flying you from New York to Hollywood. You can be Levi and the Ripcords. And I wanted to have a Gretsch player and Danny Harvey, a Fender player. So I wanted them to take turns. I said, there's no strumming. I don't allow strumming. I hate it. So I said, but you can complement each other as you play. And you take turns, and it'll be Fender, and then Gretsch, it'll be awesome. And they came out and stayed for about 10 days or something. And we actually did, we rehearsed a few times in the studio, and it was Brian on guitar, Gary on drums, Danny Harvey on his Fender. Obviously, Brian's playing his Gretsch. And Adam Stern was on bass. And he later became the bass player for Royal Crown Review, the big swing band.
Yeah.
But he was 15 at the time, not that that bothered us, but that's what was going to be Levi and the Ripcords. And then then after about four or five days, Brian took me aside and he said, look, I can't be with Gary. He drives me nuts. I'm going to kill him, you know? So I said, okay, you know, Gary's out, you're in. And then he started saying, you know, what about my record collection, and what about my comic book collection, and my bike, and my pets, and I just, and I said, what are you talking about? You know, and he said, when will we be back in New York? And I said, we're like pirates. We go where Lee finds the interest. You know, if he finds, he says, hey, they want you in Croatia, that's where we're going to go. You know, we don't go and then come back to a base like New York or something. You know, and I just played New York for 2 years solid, and well, actually overplayed. So, and I said, you know, we're going to Berlin, we're going to London, and then after that, don't know where we're going. We might go back to New York if there's demand, but if it's France or Spain or somewhere else or Australia, we'll go there. And that didn't go well. He wanted to basically, when he was done with his 6 weeks or month of touring, he wanted to go back home. And I said, well, we don't do that back home thing. We're just on the road all the time. And then he said, I want to be a front guy. And I was like, well, I kind of don't need a front guy. And yeah. So I said, I don't think you're ready. on the way back to the airport, I gave him this all this advice, and I said, the best thing you guys could do, Tomcat or whatever you're doing, I said, you have a band, the Brothers Pharaohs, which is like a new wave, Roxy music sounding band, and you play that in Manhattan. And then you have the Tomcats that you play in New Jersey and Long Island. And I said, you got the wrong way around. You should do the new wave thing, which I didn't like. You should do that in New Jersey and Long Island, where hardly anybody's going to see it. And you should, in Manhattan, you're playing Maxi and all that kind of stuff. It should be the Tomcats, play rockabilly. And then I said, in fact, don't even play there. I said, go somewhere else, conquer that somewhere else, and come back the hero of that place and do it that way. And what happened was that Smutty had told Brian, he said, you should come to London. It's all Teds, it's all rockers in leather everywhere. And it's totally wrong. There are many, but they're not everywhere. It's not like you walk down the street and everybody's got a drape or leather jacket on.
Yeah.
So we went to Berlin in April 1980, and we did our residency at the Metropole there. Then we went to London, and as we came off the plane, all these kids were there to meet us, and they said, hey, have you seen that guy, Brian Setzer? And I was like, you mean Brian? Brian, with the correct. And said, yeah, he's already got a band that's already got the Stray Cats, and they're amazing. And I just went, wow, it's actually... He did go somewhere.
Yeah.
He beat me to it. He headed straight to London with, the other guys, Slim Jim and Lee and that. And you know, they starved and lived in parks and slept on the, you know, they would go to interview at the record companies and say, can we crash in your office floor for the night? We've got nowhere to stay and all that. And then by the time we got there, they were playing Dingwalls, you know, the Stones were coming, Eric Clapton's coming, you know, everybody's like all over them. And then pretty soon after that, Runaway Boys was cut. They hooked up with Dave Edmunds, and he took them under his wing and went in the studio, and they cut Runaway Boys. And that came on the BBC radio. And when I heard that, I said, oh my God, they beat us to it. And, you know, life will never be the same now. And it really wasn't. After that, you know, up until that point, it was always Levi and the Rockettes got that gig. If there was a gig, if there's a jam with Carl Perkins and whoever, you know, Levi and the Rockettes got it. If it's a hayride or this or that or some special thing, Levi and the Rockettes got it. But now, Brian, you know, the Stray Cats were signed.
Yeah.
So that meant we would now push... I always say it's like the earth tilted and we're forever in the shadow of the Stray Cats. So I'm not against it. I thought they were super, you know, super. When I heard Runaway Boys, I thought, oh my God, they're amazing.
Yeah.
But it changed everything for us.
Get kicked out for coming home at all. Mom and Dad cursed the day you were born. Throw your clothes into a duffel bag. Shouting and slanted all the home, it's a drag. Who can I turn to? Where can I stay? Couple of bucks to buy a new toy. Slip into the alley with the runaway boys.
That's Runaway Boys by the Stray Cats, featuring Brian Setzer, who Levi had initially thought of for his Levi and the Ripcords group. Now, around this time, the rockabilly scene really started to change, some for good, but a lot of it not for the better.
Right around then, 79, 80, the world really changed. In New York, again, it was going from punk to new wave, which was rockabilly didn't quite fit in as much as it did with the punks. On the West Coast, the whole Boogie Nights thing, where the guy that ran the Starwood was busted for a murder, the police took over and they gave control of the clubs to the fire chief, who said, now it's 21 and over. And up until then, our audience was 16, 17, 18, 19.
Yeah.
By 20, they knew all about it. You know, there were people that were older, but we had a teenage crowd. Suddenly, they couldn't come to a gig anymore. So it went from selling out, you know, the whiskey for two nights and packing them in there, and then the Starwood the next weekend and selling it out. It suddenly went to 100 or two people in there. And it was very hard to sustain a band. We were full-time and living on what we made playing. It suddenly became very hard to get by because we weren't able to just sell out two nights of the whiskey and make $1,500 in 1978. It suddenly just, you're making a few hundred bucks and you've got to survive all week on it.
Yeah.
It became very tough. And that's why the movement moved from Hollywood out to, you know, other places, Orange County, because they weren't controlled by the same people. So they could be under 21. You could have teenagers come. So the whole movement moved to Orange County, Long Beach, and all that kind of stuff, because they were governed by different people there. It wasn't 21 and over like Hollywood. So things got very tough. You know, the Ripcords did our thing and did well. You know, we performed and actually we hooked up with Richard Goddard, you know, and he had already produced amazing records with Robert Gordon and the Go-Go's. Belinda used to be my roommate in Hollywood. That's how that came about. So we did record some tracks with him that later came out on a record called The Fun Sessions. And we thought things were going pretty good. It's on Gem in America, which was, you know, not us putting it out on our own label. It was actually some interest. But again, it was very, very hard. And most of the record industry didn't want to compete with the Stray Cats. They said, look, the Stray Cats got this multi-million-dollar deal and the big engine behind them. We're not going to compete with that. You know what I mean? We're not going to. It's going to be really hard. So Stray Cats became what I would say is the token rockabilly band. I once told Slim Jim, I said, do you realize? I said, the Stray Cats became bigger than the form of music itself. I said, in the same way Louis Armstrong became jazz.
Yeah, that's true.
People would say, do you know jazz? And they go, in the old days, they would say, yeah, Louis Armstrong's amazing. And they say, what else do you know? And they go, I don't know. And I said, same thing. Most kids in 1980, 81, 82, 83, if you said, do you know, have you ever heard of rockabilly? They go, yeah, Stray Cats. And they go, what else? And they go, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, it was great for them, but not particularly great for their, for the scene, you know. Things gradually slowed down. There was interest, and admittedly, it did turn people onto rockabilly, and the people that did get turned on dug a bit deeper and said, well, what else is there? Oh, this, look, there's Me Line the Rockettes or Ripcords or whatever. Oh, look, then now there's, you know, the Shaking Pyramids and Restless and the Polecats and all this kind of stuff. So the neo movement was discovered because the Stray Cats were always at the top, the peak of the iceberg. And then as people dug, they realized, oh yeah, there's a whole slew of really good other bands too that are playing the same style, modern sounding, authentic, but not purist. You know, it's still, it's rockabilly, but they're writing new songs. And it's a pretty exciting time to be in on it because, you know, every 2 or 3 months, somebody's new album will come out with 6, 8, 10 new songs on it. So, you know, it's 50-50. It was not particularly good. The token thing always gets the bone. But then it didn't stop the scene because, again, underground, everybody just keeps doing what they're doing, keeps doing it and doing it. And it forced lots of great bands, particularly in England at the time, to come out and move it forward so that it was not just a few neo-rockabilly bands. It became a movement of there's now 20, 25, 30 good bands that have good sound, good songs, and are independently making their records and doing quite well out of it.
We'll hear more from Levi Dexter next episode, but stick around for more great music in just a moment. Rex Tone Records presents Levi Dexter and the Gretsch Brothers on limited edition vinyl.
I got seven nights to rock. I got seven nights to roll.
Levi Dexter and the Gretsch Brothers all through the night on custom pink and black vinyl, limited edition of 1,000 numbered copies.
She's waiting for me, I gotta be on time. I gotta roll, 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 roll.
Levi Dexter and the Gretsch Brothers all through the night.
Friends, let me tell you about a brand new boogie. You gotta learn to do it. It's called the Okey Boogie. Yeah, Okey style.
Dextone Records and Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour are giving away two copies of this amazing album. Go to rockabillyandblues.com, rockabilly, the letter N, blues.com, and click on the Levi Dexter vinyl giveaway tab and enter for your chance to win.
All through the night. Bop, bop, bop. Yeah, I'm gonna love you, baby. Love you all through the night. Bop, bop, bop.
So you weren't able to make it out to your favorite festival this year.
Or you forgot to buy your favorite band's t-shirt in concert.
Or you just can't get enough of cool merchandise from the rockabilly scene. Rocking Merch is the place for you. The official online store for Viva Las Vegas Rockabilly Weekend. As well as pomade, CDs, records, DVDs, and other merchandise from some of your favorite rockabilly artists. Find them online at rockingmerch.com. It's your one-stop shop for all your rockabilly needs. Your source for rockabilly, blues, surf, roots, early country, and rock and roll. This is the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Now, hey, don't forget about the Rockabilly Rockout October the 1st through the 4th at the Gold Coast Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Hayden Thompson, Jittery Jack, Furious, Bloodshot Bill, Jack Baymore, and many others are on this bill. RockabillyRockout.com is the place to go for all of the info. Also, another one of our sponsors, Rocking Merch. They have merchandise from Rockabilly Rockout and Viva Las Vegas, plus t-shirts, pomade, CDs, more, lots more from lots of your favorite bands. RockingMerch.com is the place on the web. Now let's get back into the music. From their album Catman Cometh, it's the Catman and Love's All Gone on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour.
Well, I couldn't help thinking when I saw you looking back at me, that you looked so sad while I was feeling so happy. Well, that's a real damn shame, but that's the way it's got to be. Yeah, cause my love's all gone. Yeah, the love's all gone. So I just go away and love another day. You did nothing wrong, but my love's all gone. There's really nothing worse than waking up and feeling so bad, cause you turned to your lover and forgotten all the feelings you've had. Well, that's a real damn shame. It almost kind of makes me sad. Yeah, cause my love's all gone. Yeah, the love's all gone. So I just go away and love another day. You did nothing wrong, but my love's all gone. Well, maybe you're thinking that I'm just a little out of line, but I believe you shouldn't waste anybody's time. And I don't get it down when I listen to a sad love song. It just makes me think of someone else's kind of love song. Just go away, love another day. You did nothing wrong, but my love's all gone.
I've been, cause I've been drinking of the New Grand Prix. Well, Gina, 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 well, Gina, take a ride with me. My candlelight's up on and go, my gas tank's on me. Well, my dinner's in the V and the rent's past due. When my telephone's 18K, I'm on a government loan and I'm all alone. But boy, I'm a happy man, cause I've been drinking of the New Grand Prix. If you ever play me cheap, cause I spend all my money on you. Well, if you want a good tip, I'll tell you, can't see what you gotta do. Make your girlfriend skinny and your life will be skinny. And you're never, never gonna be blue, cause you'll be drinking of your new girlfriend. Well,
this is Robert Gordon, and you're listening to James Riley on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour.
Gather around me, buddies. Hold your glasses high and drink to a boo, a crazy boo who told his baby goodbye. So much he wants to die, but drink to a boo, a crazy boo who told his baby goodbye. He needs a soul. He wonders why he let her go. She's found a new love buddy. He's a lucky guy. So drink to a fool, cause I'm that fool who told my baby goodbye. He needs her, he needs her so. He wonders why he let her go. And she's found a new love buddy, and he's a lucky guy. So drink to a fool, cause I'm that fool who told my baby goodbye. Who told my baby goodbye.
That's Robert Gordon from his first solo project featuring Mr. Link Ray on guitar. They're covering the Sanford Clark hit, The Fool. You've been listening to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Now don't forget to vote for your favorite Jerry Lee Lewis tune in our killer countdown. Now we're counting down the top 20 of your favorite Jerry Lee Lewis tunes in September to celebrate the killer's 80th birthday. Now go to rockabillyandblues.com. It's rockabilly, the letter N, blues.com. Click on the Killer Countdown tab at the top and send us your vote for your favorite. Now stay tuned next time for more interviews and tunes from our guest, Levi Dexter, plus lots more great music and surprises. Until then, it's Jammin' James Riley saying keep on rockin'.